So, imagine somewhere in the world right now, there's a machine just like reading your blog.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
Right. Or it's analyzing a video of your keynote speech and meticulously deconstructing your latest business framework.
And, by tomorrow, it'll probably be offering your life's work to a complete stranger for free.
Exactly, completely for free and without ever even mentioning your name. Welcome to the generative AI era.
It's a pretty stark reality to wake up to. I mean, we've transitioned from this internet where we shared ideas to connect with
Of
people.
the good old days.
Yeah, exactly. But now it functions as this relentless harvesting ground for algorithms. If you create anything in the digital space today, you are caught in this crossfire.
And that is actually the exact mission of today's deep dive. We're unpacking how everyday creators can, actually shield their original work from generative AI exploitation.
It's such a crucial topic.
It really is. And our source material for this is a press release. It's dated June 28, 2026, out of Columbus, Ohio. And it announces the launch of a new campaign called Protect the Creator, which is driven by a platform called Instant IP. So, okay, let's unpack this because to understand the defense, we really first have to understand the sheer scale of the threat.
Yeah, to understand the threat, we have to look at the mechanics of how large language models, or LLMs, actually operate.
Right, the AI models.
Exactly. These models are essentially massive probability engines. And to function, they require just astronomical amounts of training data.
Like billions of tokens, right?
Billions of text tokens, images, audio files, you name it. It needs all of that to adjust the weights and parameters of its neural networks.
Wow.
But here's the critical issue, right? AI companies are rapidly burning through historical public data.
They're running out of stuff to read.
Basically, yeah. To prevent their models from stagnating or producing repetitive, like low-quality outputs, they are desperate for fresh, high-quality, human-created data.
They need the new stuff.
Right. They need new frameworks, new art, new methodologies to keep evolving. And their primary feeding ground is just the open internet.
And that relentless scraping of the open web is exactly what put a target on the back of Cary Oberbrunner.
Yeah, the founder of Instant IP.
Right. And he didn't start out trying to build this massive tech platform. He was literally just an author trying to protect his own livelihood. The source notes, he's actually a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling author. But the detail that really highlights the severity of this issue is what happened to his TEDx talk.
Oh, that specific incident is incredibly telling. The press release details that his TEDx talk was reproduced online in a way that appeared entirely generated from AI-scraped content.
That is just wild.
It is, because when an AI scrapes a video like that, it isn't just taking the transcript, it's mapping the vector space of his specific vocabulary, his unique
Not
cadence.
his actual tone of voice.
Yeah, and the structural pacing of his personal story.
Yeah.
It extracts the underlying architecture of his human expression so it can be synthesized and regurgitated on demand.
So it's like putting your creative work online today is less like someone just stealing a physical product from you. It's more like a massive tech corporation sending, I don't know, a million robotic food critics to taste a pie you baked from a secret family recipe.
That's a great analogy.
Right. Like they don't just steal a slice of the pie. They map out the exact molecular structure of your recipe, take that data back to a server farm, and train a machine to synthesize something that tastes exactly like your pie.
Bypassing you entirely.
Exactly. And then they just give it away for free.
What's fascinating here is Oberbrunner's core realization about that exact mechanism. He states in the source that AI did not just change how fast content is created, it changed how fast content can be copied. Right. That is a profound paradigm shift. For centuries, the primary barrier to copyright infringement was just the physical friction of copying.
Like having to actually write it out again.
Yeah, if someone wanted to plagiarize your manuscript in the 1990s, they had to physically retype it, find a publisher, distribute it. It was incredibly slow. But today, an AI can scrape your entire digital footprint in milliseconds. It extracts the conceptual frameworks of your ideas and synthesizes them into a new output before you even close your laptop.
That is genuinely terrifying. So we have this massive ideological clash happening in real time. We have creators pouring their souls into their work, and then we have these tech companies building automated extraction machines.
And hiding behind the law, usually.
Right. The tech companies constantly hide behind the legal concept of fair use. They claim that their AI scraping the internet is fundamentally no different than, like, a human student going to a public library, reading a bunch of books, and learning from them.
And that argument completely ignores the mechanical reality of what is actually happening.
How so?
Well, a human being inspired by a book is fundamentally different from a multi-billion-dollar corporation deploying an autonomous agent to ingest your intellectual property, map it into a neural network, and use it to generate substitute goods.
A substitute good meaning it replaces the original.
Exactly. In copyright law, a substitute good is something that directly competes with and replaces the market for your original work. The course material draws a very hard line on this.
Yeah, Oberbrenner says, flat out, theft is not fair use.
It's a bold stance.
It is. The stance is that AI should be a tool that empowers creators to scale their own work, not an extraction engine that exploits them to enrich a few tech monopolies.
Precisely. We are not anti-AI, as the source puts it. We are pro-creator.
Right. And if these companies are constantly scouring the web for fresh data, we really have to look at who is actually being targeted here. There's this common misconception that intellectual property theft only matters to, like, famous painters or massive pop stars.
There's a Fortune 500 companies, yeah.
Exactly. But look at the scope of the creator economy as defined in this June 2026 press release. They are building this defense system for authors, artists, speakers, and musicians. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But they also explicitly list coaches, consultants, educators, entrepreneurs, podcasters, inventors, and founders.
It's a huge list.
It means this includes you, the person listening to this deep dive right now.
And that is a massive blind spot for everyday professionals.
Mm.
We tend to think of creativity purely in artistic terms, like, you know, painting a canvas.
Sure.
But if you are a consultant and you spend months developing a unique five-step methodology for turning around failing supply chains, that is immensely valuable intellectual property.
Right. That's your secret sauce.
And the AI actually prefers that kind of structured, high-quality data over, like, generic celebrity posts.
Wait, really?
Oh, absolutely. So if you post about that methodology on your blog to attract new clients and an AI scraper ingests it, suddenly that AI can offer your highly specialized five-step methodology to anyone who prompts it for supply chain advice.
So your entire competitive advantage is just vaporized in an instant.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The press release drops this stark binary on us. It says, your ideas are either protected or they are training someone else's AI model.
Wow. There's no middle ground?
None. There is no neutral ground on the modern internet. If you put an original framework online and it's completely unprotected, the machine mathematically assumes it's public domain for training purposes.
It's a harsh reality, but it is the logical endpoint of the architecture we have allowed to develop. If you don't explicitly and verifiably claim ownership of your data, the algorithm just claims it for you.
Which means we need a way to claim ownership. But historically, I mean, protecting intellectual property has been a logistical nightmare for an independent creator.
Oh, an absolute nightmare.
Right. If you wanted to copyright a training manual or a manuscript, you were looking at hiring a lawyer for hundreds of dollars an hour, filling out these archaic government forms.
Mailing physical copies.
Yeah. Mailing physical or digital copies to a centralized, backlogged government database, and then waiting 6 to 9 months for a certificate to arrive in the mail. It is a system built for the printing press era.
Precisely. And that analog system is completely incompatible with the velocity of the modern digital economy.
Definitely.
If you're an educator, you cannot hire a legal team and wait 6 months every single time you develop a new lesson plan.
You'd go broke.
Exactly. The traditional barriers to protecting IP, the time, the money, the complexity, they were so high that they essentially disenfranchised the everyday creator. They left the majority of the internet completely exposed.
So how does the Protect the Creator campaign actually fix the time and money problem? The source says Instant IP has engineered a system that allows creators to establish a verifiable record of ownership in less than 60 seconds.
Less than a minute.
Yeah. Let's look at the mechanics of how they are actually doing that. The press release mentions blockchain-backed documentation, timestamping, cryptographic fingerprints, and chain of custody records.
Right. What they've done is taken the complex back-end cryptographic technology that usually requires a dedicated engineering team to deploy and wrapped it in an interface that anyone can use in seconds.
Okay, let's break that down, because we hear terms like blockchain and cryptographic fingerprints thrown around constantly as tech buzzwords.
Sure.
But practically speaking, for a life coach operating out of their home office, how does this actually work? Like, I upload my PDF framework to their platform. What exactly is a cryptographic fingerprint?
So when you upload that PDF, the platform uses a hashing algorithm to analyze the data. It essentially reads the entire digital makeup of your file and generates a completely unique string of letters and numbers, a hash that mathematically represents that exact document.
Okay.
It is a digital DNA sequence for your idea.
Wait, let me stop you there and push back on that a little bit.
Go for it.
If I upload a 300-page manuscript and the platform generates a unique hash for it, what happens if I change just one comma in the document? You're saying the entire cryptographic fingerprint changes.
Yes, completely.
Doesn't that mean an AI company could just scrape my manuscript, change a single word, generate a brand new fingerprint, and legally claim it's a completely different original idea?
That is a highly perceptive question, and it gets to the core of how this technology is actually applied legally.
Yeah.
Yes, mechanically, changing a single comma completely changes the hash.
Right.
But the purpose of the platform is not to mathematically match identical files. The purpose is to establish an irrefutable chain of custody for the origin of the asset.
The origin.
Exactly. By logging the fingerprint of your manuscript on a decentralized blockchain, which is basically a digital ledger copied across thousands of computers globally, you're creating an unalterable timestamp.
Ah, I see.
Because the ledger is decentralized, there's no central corporate server that a bad actor can hack to change the date. It proves, with mathematical certainty, that you held the core concepts, the structure, and the exact phrasing of that asset at a specific second in time, long before the AI company scraped it and tweaked a few words.
So it's really about shifting the burden of proof.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You are eliminating the he said, she said of digital ownership. If someone creates an unauthorized derivative of your work, you have the mathematical high ground showing you originated the core architecture of the asset.
But I do want to be very clear for the listener here, because I think there's a danger of overpromising what tech can do.
Always a risk.
Logging a fingerprint on a decentralized ledger does not create a magical force field around my website, right? It doesn't physically stop OpenAI's web crawlers or Google's bots from scraping the text off my blog.
You are absolutely correct. It is not a firewall that physically blocks a scraper. It is an irrefutable legal weapon.
Okay.
If an AI company scrapes your site and regurgitates your framework and you send a DMCA takedown notice or a cease and desist letter, they will often demand proof of original ownership.
And before, that was hard to prove.
In the past, independent creators had a terrible time proving exactly when they created a digital asset. Now you can provide a cryptographic chain of custody that holds up under scrutiny, forcing the platform to remove the stolen content or face undeniable liability.
That's huge.
It gives the everyday creator the evidentiary firepower that used to be reserved for massive corporations.
And it seems highly tailored to the realities of different industries, too. I noticed in the source that Instant IP isn't just treating every file the same. The campaign is structured into specific sub-campaigns.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, protect the book, protect the art, protect the song, and protect the talk. That acknowledges that the way a musician needs to document the stems of a new song is fundamentally different from how a keynote speaker documents the structure of a live presentation.
It creates a customized ecosystem of protection. And making it that specific and that fast, getting it down to 60 seconds, is crucial for overcoming the biggest hurdle in all of this.
Which is?
Well, the hurdle isn't technological.
Yeah.
It is deeply psychological.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you are talking about the pervasive sense of imposter syndrome that really plagues the creator economy. So many professionals, especially those just building their businesses, feel like their ideas aren't big enough to warrant legal protection. They assume that because they only have, you know, a few hundred newsletter subscribers, an AI isn't going to bother stealing their blog post.
Which is a complete misunderstanding of how algorithmic ingestion works. The AI scraper does not check your follower count.
Right, it doesn't care if you're famous.
It only cares about ingesting high-quality, structured human thought. But the psychological barrier remains. Creators view IP protection as a defensive chore, like something you only do once you have already made $1 million.
And Oberbrenner addresses this exact mindset shift in the press release. He has this standout quote that completely flips that narrative on its head.
I love this quote.
He says, "You do not protect your ideas because you are big. You become big by protecting your IP."
That is the foundational shift the campaign is trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't treat your own intellectual property as inherently valuable from the very first day you create it, you cannot expect the open marketplace or automated algorithms to treat it as valuable later.
Absolutely.
Your ideas are the currency of your business. If you leave them unsecured, they will be spent by someone else.
And the stakes of getting this wrong go far beyond just one person losing credit for a blog post. The source touches on a very real existential threat to human creativity itself.
Yeah, it gets pretty deep.
It does. If we reach a tipping point where educators, authors, and innovators simply stop publishing new frameworks because they know an AI will instantly extract it, strip their name off it, and offer it to their competitors, the entire ecosystem of human knowledge stagnates.
Exactly.
I mean, why spend a year meticulously researching and writing a nonfiction book if a machine is going to ingest the PDF and spit out a dozen cheap synthesized knockoffs the next morning?
That mass demotivation is the chilling effect we are already beginning to witness. If the economic and reputational incentives for human creation are destroyed by algorithmic extraction, the well of fresh data eventually dries up.
Right.
But Oberbrenner anchors the campaign's philosophy in a very simple, powerful reminder: we were created to create.
I like that.
There's a fundamental biological human drive to invent, to express, and to share our solutions with each other. The ultimate goal of this technology isn't to build isolated fortresses around every single thought just to hoard them.
Right. It's not about being selfish.
Exactly. It is to build enough verifiable safety into the digital system that humans feel secure enough to keep participating in the open exchange of ideas.
And Instant IP is actively trying to lower that barrier to entry so creators can actually feel that security firsthand. According to the release, they are offering a free IP credit for creators to test the system.
That's a smart move.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this and you realize you have a proprietary coaching framework, an unreleased podcast format, or a manuscript sitting completely exposed on your hard drive, you can go to instanttip.todaycreator to claim a free credit.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to actually experience the mechanism of logging that cryptographic fingerprint and establishing your chain of custody without any financial risk.
It's a highly strategic move to offer the first experience for free.
Yeah.
Once a creator actually goes through the process and realizes that securing their digital DNA only takes 60 seconds rather than 6 months of legal bureaucracy, it just integrates into their workflow.
It becomes second nature.
Exactly. Establishing ownership becomes as routine and reflexive as hitting the save button on a document.
So what does this all mean? When we step back and look at the entirety of this June 2026 launch and the mechanics behind it, what is the core takeaway for the listener today?
I think the synthesis is this. The unprecedented velocity of AI's ability to extract and synthesize human thought has necessitated an entirely new, radically faster defense mechanism.
Fighting speed with speed.
Exactly. The legacy world of slow, expensive, centralized legal hurdles is actively being replaced by decentralized blockchains and cryptographic timestamps. This shift bypasses the traditional legal gatekeepers, giving the evidentiary power of ownership directly back to the everyday creator, allowing them to establish their rights at the speed of thought.
And the most important thing to remember is that whether you are drafting a highly technical supply chain framework for your consulting firm, or you are quietly outlining a fantasy novel on your weekends, your original thoughts have immense quantifiable value.
Yeah, absolutely do.
They deserve a 60-second shield of cryptographic proof before they are fed to an algorithm.
This raises an important question, though. Something for us and for you listening to really analyze as we navigate this new technological era.
Okay, what is it?
If this decentralized technology does become the absolute global standard, like if absolutely every original human idea, every rough sketch, every chord progression, and every shower thought business framework is cryptographically fingerprinted and locked down on a blockchain the very second it's conceived, how will that fundamentally alter the nature of human inspiration?
Wow. That is a massive paradigm shift to consider.
Right. Will this hyper-focus on rigid, mathematically verifiable ownership stifle the organic, wonderfully messy way humans have historically borrowed from, built upon, and been inspired by each other's work?
That's a valid concern.
Or, conversely, will this technological shield finally force society and the legal system to clearly define the exact boundary between genuine human inspiration and automated algorithmic extraction?
That really is the ultimate tension here. I mean, if we build perfect digital fences to keep the automated extraction machines out, do we accidentally isolate ourselves from the very human exchange of ideas that drives culture forward in the first place?
It's definitely something to think about.
It is a fascinating balancing act between protecting our individual brilliance and nourishing the collective neighborhood. Well, thank you so much for bringing your expertise to this, and thank you to everyone listening for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Keep questioning the systems around you, keep protecting your hard-earned ideas, and above all, keep staying curious. We will catch you next time.